Psalm 144. Well, the title of this psalm, the Septuagint, says that it does concern the fight with Goliath, and it's very similar to Psalm 8, which is definitely, as the title says, about the death of the champion, which is clearly the death of Goliath. So my suggestion is that David goes out there in faith, throws the stone from his sling, kills Goliath, cuts his head off, wins a great victory. He's the poster boy, he's the glorious young, good-looking young fella, and everybody's round him, all the girls are there, you know, singing songs to him, David's slain his 10,000s and so on. And he goes out, I think, that evening, and he has these thoughts. And he says, "Blessed be Yahweh, who teaches my hands to war and my fingers to battle." So the victory that he won was through his slingshot, and to be an accurate slinger means getting your finger work absolutely perfect to the millimeter. And he gives that glory to God. God, Yahweh, teaches my hands to war and my fingers to battle. Now, it is usual when men get sudden exaltation, and that's the idea with David. He was suddenly came out of nowhere to be this really glorious hero. It normally goes to their heads, but it didn't with David. And I think the years of rejection by his older brothers, stuck out there, looking after the cattle all on his own, fighting off the lions and wild animals, and being the underdog, as very often happened in big families, the youngest son was just the underdog. This prepared him, as being the underdog in life, no matter how long it goes on for, prepares you likewise to be the person that God wants you to be. And so with all that glory being sort of thrust upon him, he goes out, I think, and Psalm 8 says he looks at the sky and he sees the stars, the work of God's fingers. And here he says, "You teach my fingers and my hands." That slingshot that got me all the glory was because of you. That's what you taught me to do. Verse 2, my source of grace. My source of grace. That's a wonderful idea, that he sees the whole victory is not because of him being so good at being a slinger, which he certainly was in a human sense, but by God's grace. You're my fortress, my high tower, my deliverer. Well, that's all very much defensive language, and yet he was the hero who went out proactively, aggressively, I will go and fight this Philistine, and yet he goes without any armour, and he trusts that God is his high tower, and he quite often says that God is his high tower in this life. He says it very often in the Psalms, and yet he also talks about how at the last day, God will be my high tower. So it is through your experience in this life of trusting in God that when you finally come to that moment of the Day of Judgment, that you will find he doesn't change. That the God you have trusted in your crises is the same God who ultimately just wants to save you. You are my shield. Well, Saul gave him his shield and he took it, looked at it and said, "Nah, I don't want it. Because you are my shield who subdues the people under me." Well, of course, all the people wanted him to be king. The minute he killed Goliath, he was the hero. But he says, "You did this." Then verse 3, "Yahweh, what is man that you care for him? Or the son of man that you think of him?" And this has got to be the attitude of all God's servants. Who am I? You see it in Moses, you see it in Jeremiah, you see it in all of them, really. Who am I? Who am I that I should do this? And God will use you. Don't think that God doesn't use you, that he only uses the heroes like David who are public. He has a huge amount of work going on, and he uses you. And don't think that this idea of ministry is just for some people. I don't like the way Christians talk about, he's in ministry, but I'm not. No, you're all in ministry. We're all servants. We've all got a ministry. But to get that, you've got to have this attitude, but who am I? Absolutely, who am I? Job says the same. What is man that you should magnify him? And we come to this all the way through, as I say. Verse 4, man is like a breath, his days are like a shadow that passes away. And that is indeed so, but it's great that David perceived that in his youth, at the prime of his life, in the pink of health, in the pink of physical strength, man is like a breath. His days are like a shadow that passes away. If you can perceive that in your youth, that's wonderful. Try to do that. If you're young folks listening to this, realize that you are mortal, that your days will very soon pass away. And it is that realization that man is mortal that instills into us humility. And I do think that understanding that there is no immortal soul and that we are mortal and have no conscious survival after death until, of course, the resurrection of the body when Jesus returns, I think that that is sort of intended by God to elicit humility in us so that the work we do for him in this world, we do humbly. So verse 5, part your heavens and come down. He seems to change the theme now. Throw out your lightning and scatter them. Send out your arrows. Remember that David had no arrows or bow in fighting Goliath. Stretch out your hand from above and rid me out of the hands of foreigners. Well, I suggest that he's at this point with the Philistines in Gath, and he knows that he's made a poor decision. He's fled there because he's so convinced Saul's going to kill him, although Samuel said, you're going to be king, Saul's not going to kill you. And, okay, he makes a wrong decision, and he's now surrounded by Philistines who suddenly put two and two together and figure that, hey, this is the guy that killed thousands of us. They sung about this fella that David killed 10,000s of us. And he's really desperate, and he thinks back to how God saved him from Goliath and gave him the victory. And this is what happens in spiritual life, that you look back at those times when God has saved you, when God has really come through for you, and they inspire you in the situations when you're desperate for God to come through for you again.